We're turning again to John's Gospel, chapter 10. The portion that we read just a little bit earlier. And we're going to be drawing our attention especially to the verses 27 through to 29. Where again we hear the Saviour say, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Let's just seek the Lord's help in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for these precious words that we have read together. We ask that they may be written upon our heart, and that the truth of the Scriptures, such as we have read this morning, that we might be well instructed by the Spirit of God, that we might not be left to our own opinions or to our own thoughts, but oh, that Thou would be our teacher today, instructing us in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, directing our footsteps in the pathways of righteousness. And above all, we pray that we might glorify Thy name as we consider afresh this morning the salvation that is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. May each and every one of us leave this place today rejoicing that we are indeed saved by Thy grace and kept by Thy power. We ask these things in our Saviour's name. Amen. I'd like to preach this morning on the subject of the eternal security of the believer. And I believe we find in this passage in John's Gospel what I've described in our order of service as a triple lock. Something that's secure. Can you imagine for one moment the emotional state of a child who doesn't know from one day to the next whether or not he is a member of this family? Today, since he has been a good boy, he's considered a member. But tomorrow, if he misbehaves, he may not be a member. Today, he is loved by his father, but tomorrow he may not be. The child would be a neurotic mess. You're a part of your family regardless of the being. So it is with the child of God. If we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have been adopted into the family of God, if being born again by His Spirit we are able to cry, "Abba, Father," then God wants us to know that we can enjoy the emotional and eternal security that belongs to those that are part of His family. The Lord Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now, when we come to look at the issue of eternal security, we must first define our terms. Eternal security are for those that are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have received Jesus Christ by faith. They have been born again by the Spirit of God. They have become partakers of the divine nature. And as such, being born again by God's Spirit, adopted into His family, such a person can never be lost. Now, we have all known people who have given us the impression that they were saved. But today they have no longer any interest at all in spiritual things. They used to attend church. They may have been baptized. It may have seemed to all who looked upon them that they were Christians, but perhaps it must be argued that they were never truly converted at all. There are some of whom the Savior speaks in Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 7. Our Savior said, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, notice what the Savior does not say. He doesn't say, "I once knew you, but you lost." He doesn't say, "You were once converted, but you sinned away the grace that was given to you." He says, he never, at any time, knew them as his children. They may have done all kinds of religious things, but they never knew God in saving grace. They may have turned away from the church and from religion, but they never at any time were possessors of eternal life. Every church has experienced plenty of people who seem for a while to live for God and then turn away. They were never saved. If they left the faith and stayed away, we can be assured that they were never truly converted. That's what John tells us in 1 John 2 and verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. John is saying if they were truly part of the body of Christ, they would have continued in the body. But the fact that they went out, and it's now apparent to all that they were never truly part of the children of God. In other words, if these people had really been Christians, they would have remained in the faith. Now that's not to say that we don't falter, and we don't stumble, and we don't fall. But the reason that many fall away and stay away is because they've never truly been converted. They didn't lose their salvation. They just never had it. They had a profession of faith, but not the possession of it. For those that really know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they are eternally secure in Him. They will never lose what Christ has given them. Now, what is our security based upon? This is where we come to our triple lock. There are three things that the Lord Jesus says in this passage that remind us of how we are locked into God's grace. Our security is based upon, firstly, the price that Christ paid for us. We find recorded for us in this portion of John's Gospel that four times that the Lord Jesus repeats that he gives his life for the sheep. In verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Verse 15, he says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Verse 17, "I lay down my life." Verse 18, "I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again." The Lord Jesus tells us that he lays down his life for the sheep. In the last two verses, he emphasizes that he lays his life down in order that he might take it up again. Our security, our salvation, is eternal because of the price that was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid down his life for the sheep. We see a distinct purchase. The Lord Jesus has purchased His sheep with His life. We think of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of a selfless death. And while He no doubt set His sights on the joy that was set before Him as He endured the cross, yet at that time He was giving Himself for us as sinners. It was the greatest act of selfless love in the history of the world. The Apostle Paul said that scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died voluntarily. He died in obedience to the will of God the Father. He wants us to know and to feel that deep, selfless care for us. He is the good shepherd that laid down His life for the sheep. And when we read that word good, it carries with it the idea of excellence or beauty. The beauty of our Savior, our Shepherd who gave Himself to rescue us from the judgment of God. And when we see such beautiful love, it should draw our hearts to Him. It was a selfless death. It was a sacrificial death. The Savior said, I lay down my life for the sheep. The Savior did not die for any crimes or sins that He had committed. The testimony of all that knew and seen Him was that He was innocent, without fault. No, when He died in our place. He died for the sheep. We who should have faced God's righteous, eternal judgment for our sins, find that the Lord Jesus has intervened. He has come and He has paid the debt on our behalf. And being without sin, He alone was qualified to die for us, a sacrifice for us. Paul said, He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In other words, God took our sins and laid them upon the Lord Jesus Christ so that He could pay our debt and in return give us His righteousness in order that we might be accepted before God. It was a sacrificial death. He died on the behalf of others. It was a specific death. It says most clearly that He laid down His life for the sheep. The Apostle Paul expresses this thought in other terms in Ephesians 5 and verse 25. He said, Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. The sheep, if you look at verse 29, are those whom the Father gave to the Son. My Father which gave them to thee. Those whose names have been written in the Lamb's book of life from before the foundation of the world. Those elect that have been given to the Lord Jesus Christ in the council chambers of eternity when the Father decreed to save a people and Christ agreed to die for them, and the Spirit of God said, I will draw them. There is a specific death here. He died for the sheep, those that are His eternal choice in the covenant of grace, those whom God has branded as His sheep and set a hedge around them, securing their salvation. The Lord Jesus said in verse 16, speaking of the Gentile nations, He says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold or not of Judaism, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There is no uncertainty in the mind of the Savior. He says, I know them, and I give my life for them. There is a particular redemption in view. I know them. I know who they are. I know where they are. I know what they are. I know all that they have done and all that they have been. And I know what they will be. I will be gracious to them. I will save them and I will bring them home. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for His sheep as our substitute, our sacrifice, a voluntary sacrifice, a vicarious substitute, one suffering in our place the penalty that was rightfully ours. And the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished redemption for us as a victorious Savior. We read in John chapter 6, in the verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And he went on to say, and this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Why is our salvation secure? Because of the price that Christ paid. He died for the sheep. We're told that He calleth His own sheep by name, and He leadeth them out. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. That is that special, irresistible call that Christ issues to His sheep. They will hear His voice. It will be an effectual calling. It will always accomplish the salvation of God. It brings the sheep to the shepherd. He calls His own sheep. Better still, He calls them by name. He knows us. And He leads them out of darkness and into light, out of bondage and into liberty, out of death and into life. And they follow Him. They follow the Lamb. They follow Him wheresoever He goeth. Tell me, have you heard the shepherd's voice? Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at what it says in verse 26. But the Savior says to the Pharisees, He says, ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. He doesn't say, you're not my sheep because you don't believe. He says, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. The determining factor is whether we are the Savior's sheep. Those given to Him by the Father. Those whom the Savior came to redeem. The Lord Jesus lays down His life for those that are His. He did not fail in His mission. He died with an absolute certainty that His sacrifice was acceptable for all that He came to save. And not one of them will He lose. His death was selfless. It was sacrificial. It was specific. And it was successful. He not only lays down His life, verse 17, but He says He will take it again. He will lay it down, but He has power to take it again. There are many that came to be able to lay down their lives, but the Lord Jesus was the only one who could legitimately claim that He could take it up again. In other words, the resurrection verifies that the Father accepted His sacrifice. We can shout it from the rooftops. Christ died for my sins. The debt is paid. My good shepherd has laid down His life and He has taken it up again. There is a distinct purchase and a distinct calling. There's the first lock that secures us in Christ. The price has been paid. Our debt has been cancelled. God, the great judge, would be unjust if those for whom Christ died were lost. Think about it. God would be unjust if even one sheep for whom Christ died was lost. Price has been paid. The captive must go free. Our security is based upon the price that Christ paid for us. Now, our security is based not just upon that price, but upon the promise that Christ has given to us. He says in verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. We are hearing the words of one who cannot lie. The promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And He has promised His sheep eternal life, and that they should never perish. It's a twofold promise. The promise of eternal life and of never perishing. It's a divine gift. I give unto them eternal life. Here's a reason why we must believe in the eternal security of God's elect people. Eternal life is a gift from God. It comes as a matter of His free grace. It's not something that we possess by nature. It does not evolve from man's sinful heart by some mysterious process of spiritual evolution. We don't grow into it. It is given to us graciously. It is performed in the heart by the power of God's sovereign grace. The fact that we're told that Christ gives us eternal life tells us that it doesn't come to us as a matter of debt or reward. We haven't earned it or merited it. In fact, we're told in the Scriptures that the gift of God is eternal life. There's nothing about us that calls God to say, I'll give them eternal life because they deserve it. And in the same way, because there is nothing in us to deserve eternal life that God giveth to us freely and graciously, then in the same way there is nothing in the believer that can cause God to take away His gift of eternal life. Because He knew what was in us before He gave the gift of life to us. It is not in the nature and character of God to take away His gifts that were so freely bestowed to start off with. And when we acknowledge that eternal life is completely and entirely the gift of God, no way earned by us, by our goodness or by our religious performances, then we must conclude that those to whom eternal life is given must be eternally secure. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 14 says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. When God gives us eternal life, it cannot be added to or taken from. We have eternal life by virtue of the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a twofold promise. Not only does he give his sheep eternal life, but he says we shall never perish. We shall never perish. Well, what if they're but babes in Christ and their faith is weak? They shall never perish. What if they are young men in Christ and their passions are strong? They will never perish. What if they've grown old and their vision grows thin? They shall never perish. What if they're tempted? They shall never perish. What if they're tried and tested? They shall never perish. What if all hell breaks loose against them? They shall never perish. What if they sin? They shall never perish. What if they sin again? They shall never perish. What if they fall? They shall never perish. Not if they fall 7 times a day, or 7 times 7. The Lord Jesus has said, they shall never perish. Not one of Christ's sheep will perish. No, not one. This isn't a privilege reserved for a few. It's the common mercy that's extended to the entire flock of Christ. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have received eternal life by His sovereign grace, you shall never perish. Christ has promised. You cannot sin away the grace that God has bestowed upon you. You read through the Scriptures of men of God that faltered and failed. Men like Noah, who built an ark to the saving of his house, and then upon exit of it, fell into drunkenness. What about Abraham, who went down into Egypt and told lies concerning his wife, who took Hagar, his maidservant, to bear a child for him? Never perish. What about David, who committed adultery and murder? What about Lot, who pitched his tent towards Sodom and grieved his soul? What about Peter, who denied the Lord Jesus Christ? They shall never perish. Never perish. The promise of God must be fulfilled. The purposes of God cannot be frustrated. The redemptive work of Christ cannot be nullified. Our debts have been paid. They've been paid in full. The Savior has borne all of our sins. There is no punishment left for us to bear. Christ has satisfied an offended God. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We are reconciled to God. If even one for whom Christ died perished, then all would have been in vain. Our justification is an irreversible act of grace. God's plan can never be defeated. Christ prays for us. We read in John 17 and verse 9, the Savior saying, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. Do you think that Christ can pray and His prayer not be heard and answered? He prays for us. The Spirit of God who has sealed us will ensure that it cannot be broken. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That's Ephesians 1 verse 13 and 14. We are sealed by the Spirit of God. Why are we eternally secure? Because of the price that Christ has paid for us, for the promise that he gives to us, and thirdly and finally, by the protection that he offers us. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are preserved by Christ. We are kept in the hands of his power. We are in the hands of Christ, our God and our Savior. And what a blessed place to be, a place of security. These are the hands that were pierced to redeem us. These are the hands of omnipotent power. These are the hands that created the world and the universe and all that it contains. These are the hands that hold the reins of universal dominion. These are the hands that hold us in life, the very hands of God himself. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ by virtue of the price that he paid for us, and none can pluck us out of his hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The Savior says firstly that his sheep are in his hand. And because we are in the Savior's hand, we find that we are also in the Father's hand. And none can pluck those sheep away. None can take them from the hand of God. We are secure. Our security does not rest upon what we have done, but upon what Christ has done. It's not based upon how good we can be. It rests entirely upon the greatness of God, and there is none greater than him. The house that is built on the rock, which is Christ, that when the storms come, we will not be moved from the foundation. One old commentator said that even though our faith is weak, and we stumble, our salvation rests not in our ability to hold on to God, but in his ability to hold on to us. We are kept in the hand of God. How any could argue that the believer could lose his salvation or somehow remove himself from the Father's hand? Surely the Lord Jesus knew that the greatest enemy that we face is ourselves. If we could lose our salvation by sinning, then every believer who has ever lived would be lost, because we have all sinned even after coming in faith to Christ. But there is no loophole in the promise of God's salvation. Our Savior's point here is that if the Father gave us to Jesus before the foundation of the world, and our Savior has given to us eternal life as a free gift, apart from anything that we have done, and that the Father has promised to keep us from every enemy, then our salvation is secure. It doesn't depend on our performance. It depends on his purchase of us, his promise to us, and his power over us. And when the Lord Jesus says, my Father is greater than all, he tells us that there is no power in all the universe that is able to overcome the Father. And that includes our stubborn flesh. That includes Satan and all his demonic forces. That includes the world with all of its attractions. They are no match for the Father. child of God, we are secure in our salvation. Does that mean we can live any way that we choose? Does that mean we have license to sin, that we can behave whatever way we want, that Christ will save us and keep us? Of course not. It fills our heart with gratitude to know that Christ has saved us. It fills us with wonder to know that God so loved us that He has eternally secured us in Christ. What sense of gratitude and love and devotion we owe toward God. How dare we sin against His grace? The doctrine of eternal security is not a license to sin. It's an increase in our devotion to the Lord. How unworthy we are. How wonderful He is. Oh, that we would rejoice this morning in that sure and certain knowledge that our sins have been forgiven by Christ, that we are His by virtue of that new birth, and that we are kept by the power of God unto salvation. May the Lord bless these thoughts to our hearts this morning.